Hey, 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 welcome back to Step Into Your Sunshine. This is your host, Rachel Coudron, the owner of Etsy Boutique Coudron's Curiosities and RC Copywriting. Today, I have a podcast master with me, and I would love for her to introduce herself.
Hi, thank you, Rachel, for having me. I'm so excited to be here. So I'm the owner and founder of Busy Mums Fitness Corner podcast. And I've actually just launched another podcast, the Podcast Launch Corner, which just came to me because my background is health and wellness, women's health. I talk a lot about manifesting. I am a mum to a child with additional needs. So I look at how I can help busy mums in my position and just manage life and daily tasks. So my business went online after lockdown. I was working one-to-one. So I just thought, I'm going to start a podcast and talk about all my experiences, all my qualifications that are in my head that I'm not using now. I can talk about on the podcast and just let it develop nicely. But in the process of doing this, I've started helping people. Have been coming to me, help me launch a podcast. How do you do it? So I've created an absolute completely different business by helping people launch podcasts. So hence why I've had to divert into another podcast, because it would have got really confused on my fitness one, because it would have been like a bit all over the place. And yeah, so, and then I started writing books and publishing books in the meantime. So it's been kind of like a roller coaster of a year. Manifested everything that has come true quicker. It's come quicker. I put like a 5-year plan on it and it's come within a year. So I'm like, I've not expected everything to come this quick. So I'm like, what is going to happen to the next 4 years now? What have I got to? I'm going to have to revisit my goals and I'm going to have to up level my game now, because I've reached them. I've hit the goals. I've stuck to the goals. And I think if you stick to goals, then you've got a good chance of getting to your goals.
Wow. My goodness. You are taking the world by storm, Lindsay.
Mm-hmm.
That is incredible. For all of you listeners tuning in, Lindsay and Lisa were the ladies that taught me about podcasting, what to do, how to do it, what platforms to use, what tech to use, all of the things. So if you need help launching a podcast, then Lindsay is your go-to gal. She will teach you everything that you need to know. So definitely get involved with her new podcast.
Yay.
So one thing I want to talk to you about that you mentioned in your introduction is manifesting. Now, I have just recently kind of toiled in manifesting, and I'll tell you just a snippet about it. Is at the beginning of June, I decided that I needed something to be different in my business, in my copywriting business. And I was listening to different people online, and I watched this training on LinkedIn, actually, and I really loved this lady. I really connected with her, and I went to go sort out some stuff with her, and she had this manifestation challenge where you were manifesting 2K in 2 weeks, and I thought, this is wild. I don't even know if this could be done, but I want to change. I wanted a change in my copywriting business. I said, forget it. I'm all the way in. Whatever she says, even if it sounds totally insane to me, I'm going to do it. I'm going to manifest my brains out until I can't.
Yeah.
And so she walks us through this process about manifestations and what they are, what does it mean, and keeping it always in your vision, or always in your energy, checking back in with you about manifesting. And I'd love for you to also expand on that here in a second. And for all of you guys tuning in, by following the methods of manifestation, I did manifest 2K in 2 weeks through my copywriting business, which was absolutely amazing. And now I am trying to manifest. I have it right here on my computer. I know you ladies and gentlemen can't see, but Lindsay sure can. I'm manifesting 40 people in my book club by August the 1st. And so I am all in on the manifesting. So I would love for you to just give me some more details. What can we do for those that are tuning in? What is manifesting? How do we get where we want to be?
So I'll speak about how I've spoke about, sort of, I've got a book that's going to be published soon, and it's going to be called, nobody knows, I'm going to drop it here, Manifesting Through Motherhood, and how I have used strategic manifesting. Because people come across me probably won't think I'm very woo, and you don't have to be woo to be a manifester. You can be a really born goal-getter. I am probably more the goal-setting person. And for years, I've always set a goal when I was younger. And the word manifesting wasn't a big thing, and I've spoke about this in my book, and it's more you set a goal that we all manifest. And I spoke about this with my husband, and he says, I don't do that. And I was like, but what about when you wanted that BMW? That new car? And he said, and I said, you got it? And he said, yeah, but I said, no, you manifested what it was like, what it looked like, how much it's going to cost, and you got it. You made it achievable. Oh, well, I never thought of it like that. And I said, but this is the thing. We all want a better job. So you manifest it. We start visualizing it. What does it feel like? What does it smell like? Like, how do you feel around something that you want might be a family? You might want to start manifesting a family. So you've got to start bringing your manifestations into your reality, into your world, sending it out to the universe. Like, I want this. This is what I want. Is this achievable? No matter what way you can achieve it, it will come in some form, but you've got to work with the vibrations of the universe and how you're going to get there. You might have to have a lot of goal setting into it, be really strict with yourself. Like, were you saying the 2K in 2 weeks is achievable? Because you've probably gone back to your business, probably brought your business down, look at how actually can I work with my business and earn more money from certain aspects of your business, because it's all there, but it's having a bit of a strategy and a plan behind with what we're doing. And that's all I've done with my podcasting. I've visualized my podcast cover. I've visualized a photo shoot. I've visualized me. My husband built me my studio at home. I visualized him doing that, and he did it. I know he's done it, but it's happened, and it all just came together really fast. And I just visualized a microphone, my laptop, and me recording it. I just visualized everything that I that's happened lately. But what I have had to do daily goal like setting. So I do my daily manifesting. I do my natural goals, which we do our vision board. I have everything on my screen saver. And I think that's just a kind of reminder of, like, for me to be grateful for what I've got, and actually what is actually, like, what I've got achievable. It might be like paying my mortgage off, or, you know, my husband wants to retire in a couple of years early. So it's little things like that. But how are we going to do that? I'm younger than my husband. I'm going to work, going to be carry on working. I love my business. But he's in a completely different place than me. So in order to do that, I'm gonna have to still, in my business is gonna keep growing, but he's in a different place. So it's working together, I think, if you are in a couple. So it's making sure that you are in alignment. But my husband totally is completely different to me. So I always say to people, don't let that deter you. You will take a little bit of criticism off people. People will start like raising their eyebrows, like, oh, here we go. Like, she's talking about manifesting again. And my mum's like, I've just learned so much about you are manifesting through talking about it, because you are afraid sometimes of not stepping into your sunshine, because people are like, who does she think she is? But isn't the proof there that I've you know, I've got the car that I want, I've got the house and the things that you want? You've just got to kind of bring it into the reality of just believing and asking the universe for help and support, not being afraid. The universe doesn't know about money and how much. Ask the universe to bring something to you and show you little signs. And so it's just believing in yourself, I think, and being quite independent on how you're going to be doing it, and revisiting goals and having accountability for yourself. I think that's a really good thing, that I have a massive accountability, and I just revisit my goals and revisit, are they feeling aligned? And if they're not feeling aligned and you're feeling a bit icky, then sometimes we need to look at, are these my goals? Are they the next person's goals? Because we do look at social media and think, well, they're in the same business as me and they're doing a lot more better than me. But you just don't know people's circumstances, and we shouldn't follow other people, which is hard, like, when you've got all these platforms. But I built my business without social media from the beginning. So it can happen. You can do it behind the scenes, you can be as vocal as you can about them. But just believe, I'd say, believe in yourself, and ask the universe for that support. There you go.
That's so fabulous. A short, quick masterclass on manifesting
Yeah.
right there for all of our listeners. I love that, Lindsay, so much. And one of the parts that made me chuckle inside when you were speaking was, you know, people might give you that eyebrow raising look. And yesterday, when I had written out all the notes that I showed you just before. I was posting them all around my house. I mean, literally all around my house. I have 10 places in front of my computer, in the bathroom, on the mirror, on the front door, on the cabinet I have in the kitchen that I get my glasses out of, on the fridge, everywhere. And he's like, oh, you're doing this again. That you know, that look. That tone, that look in your eyes. And I'm like, yeah. And he's just kind of grinning. And I know that he's thinking, oh my goodness, what is this? But the funny part about that is just 2 days prior to yesterday, my daughter had asked me for some sticky notes. And so I gave her some sticky notes. And all of a sudden, here she is. She's four, so she can't quite write yet. But she's like very intensely writing scribbles. And she goes and she's not, and posting them all around the house. And I'm like, idiot, no, what are you doing? And she goes, she's like, well, mama, I have goals. I got to manifest them. And I'm like, oh my goodness, you just like stole my heart, whole heart, daughter. She just, you know, our kids are watching us and the things that we're doing and our mindsets. And for me, part of being in business and my motivation in the morning to get up and go is to show her that I can, to show her that there are other options outside of traditional working and business.
We have the lovely one. Well, I did that. Every night I do my gratitude and I write out how all my 10 gratitude lists, and my son actually tries to input it and say, I'm grateful for this today, or I'm grateful for this today. So it's really nice that our kids, and I've spoke about this in my book, how we should set goals for our children, which I do each month. I goal set for my like, we should set goals, we do goals for ourselves, but my son has additional needs, so I set him goals as well. So it might be how to read a little bit better, write a little better, because it's not just about us. Like, we could be in a really good place, but if our family's not, then what is it if we've not got our family kind of on the same page? So yeah, our children are everything, aren't they, with especially with everything that we do and see. And my son sees everything now. He's nearly 13, so he's a little bit more alert, and he always laughs at my podcast, and he rhymes off my introduction, my old introduction, and he says, why do you always talk about me on the podcast? I said, he's not really listened to it. I said, but I do mention you and how proud I am of you. And he said, oh, that's nice. So it's just nice that he's took note a little bit.
Yeah, I think that's so important that we're being intentional with our children about the goals, about manifestations, about how we collectively are bringing our families together through our work. And it's very inspirational and empowering for those that hear that. And for me, and when I see my daughter doing something that's really touching to me, where she's not quite at the setting goals herself stage, but she's learning from me. Like, there's more than just this way of living. And for me and her, we do a lot of affirmations in the morning. Like, I stand her up on the sink and we do affirmations about how our day is going to go. We've talked about our mindset going into the day. If she feels like she's going to have a bad day at school, then I tell her, then she's going to have a bad day at school. Yeah. Like, if you believe and feel before you arrive that you're going to have a bad day at school, then you're going to come, when I come and get you at lunchtime, you're going to tell me that you had a bad day at school. I said, but if you change that and tell yourself you're going to have a good day at school and today is going to be fabulous, then that's exactly what's going to happen. I'm going to pick you up from school and you're going to tell me you had a fabulous day.
Yeah. That time in the morning, if like I've got the, you know, I can take my son to school because it's literally 5 minutes in the car. But a lot of children do get transport because they come from other towns, but I've took the option of just taking them. I said, no, it's fine, and because I don't have to set off as late in the morning and as early. So it's, we do have that time in the morning where we can instill this, what they should. We didn't get taught this at school, and I've kind of mentioned this in my book, but we just get taught how to just do certain things in certain ways, but our mental health wasn't really brought into it when we was growing up, and our thoughts and feelings and our putting our input into life. But now that I see, you see, children are so much different now. They're really very much in tune with what they want in the business. Like my son is probably, I don't know what the future holds with him going to get a job, but he wants to do like YouTube and things like that, and that would be an easy job for him to do. So I'm gonna be able to teach him things because of his lack of, he's got a learning delay, so he's not gonna get really good grades in his maths and probably not in his English, but he's got good qualities, so I can see them and I can tap into them. But who knows, like, you know, he could jump into a completely different person, because it's an absolutely fantastic school where they're really nurturing and they take them out on trips and so yeah, they just keep, they're quite good with wellness at the school. I'm a parent governor at the school, and they're very well on like looking after wellness through staff and children, which is really important, and everyone loves to look after themselves, and because we all have to go to work in a good frame of mind, don't we?
Yes. Oh, you're such an inspirational mom.
Oh, thanks.
And I'm leading your children by example.
What's that?
And Lindsay, I would like to go back to your childhood or your defining moments in your life. So let me just ask you the question as a whole.
Yeah.
What were some of the defining moments in your life that shaped who you are?
It's funny like this. We're talking about this because I'm like, I've spoke about this in my book, and it's like revisited a lot of things. And then after Kylie was on my podcast, she was on my podcast, she did me a little reading after, and it was a lot about this and things from when I was younger. I feel like my mum brought me up on her own. My mum had me at like 17, so my biological father wasn't in my life. I only met him like when I was older. He had his own family my mum didn't know about, which was fine because my mum had me, she kept me, she brought me up. And I think my mum had to give up a lot of her dreams. My mum used to drive, race motorbikes. She told me later on she got offered a contract for like Yamaha or somewhere. She could have gone further, but then little me happened. So I feel like I owe it to her, and I feel like I want to, I think you've got that, not the pressure, but I feel like my mum had to give up so much, so I wouldn't want to let my mum down. I would want to, she's always, I'm 41, my mum's only 58, she's very young, and she says all the time, all day long, I am so proud of you, I love you so much, I am, you've turned out the way I wanted to do, and so much more. And she has a lot of gratitude towards that. So I think it's your mum, your parents, whoever brings you up is like your defining, like that's who changes you as you get older, because you do think about a lot of things, and we went through so much together when we were younger, that now adults, we're best friends, and we're literally neighbours now, so we can't get out each other's way. And we had a double wedding together with my stepdad, so we got married together on the same day, so we've got this like special bond of, like, we do everything, and like when we ring her, she'll be trying to ring me at the same time, and then we'll text each other, and then a message will come through. So again, you're working with the universe. I'm thinking, I need to speak to mum, check in, and next minute, are you all right? I'm like, I've just texted you, are you okay? And the same message, and it's really strange. But that's what happens when we think about somebody, they ring, don't they? Or they call like the next day, and you're like, oh, that was strange. So yeah, I feel like kind of privileged I just had my mum. I feel like a lot of people have two parents input, but obviously I was an adult when my mum met my stepdad, which was different. I was at college and looking at getting my own house, and so yeah, it's just, I think your childhood's a big thing, because we do remember our childhoods quite a lot, don't we, as we're growing up.
Absolutely. It's, for many, it's very pivotal into the people and adults that we become. And I've noticed through other ladies I've talked to and through myself is some of our setbacks that we encounter in our business have everything in the world to do with how we were raised, or the experience of how what we did in our childhood, or what we didn't do, or what people said to us, how our parents interacted with us. And I love the fact that you and your mom are like best friends, that you guys do everything together. I think that's beautiful that you guys had weddings together, you're talking to each other all the time. And so, and partial, it reminds me of my mom, because when I moved to France, I called her every single day. And me and when my daughter, when she was born, we called her. He, you know, even when she was 1 month old, couldn't hold the phone, couldn't say anything. You know, oh, look at Eleanor today. It's just so exciting. And during this time, since the beginning of the year, my mom has had a really, really difficult time that I have talked about some through the earlier podcast episodes. And I wasn't able to talk to her every day. There was massive space because she wasn't able. She wasn't able to talk. She was in the ICU and unable to respond. She was non-responsive. And so that was really hard for me because I went from talking to my mom every day to going months without hearing her voice. And I think to myself, like when I hear you talking about your mom, it makes me all excited. And now that my mom is out of the ICU, she's still recovering. And so we're not at 100% yet, but she can actually call me now. And so when I hear her voice, I'm just like, oh, I'm so thankful to hear your voice and for you to be there. And they're such important figures in our lives.
We do like take, you know, for advantage, that people are just like, my mum's literally bought the house. They was looking at a house and we drove around. My husband, we've only been together 8 months. We drove around and there was another bungalow for sale. Well, it was under offer. And he said, I want it. And I went, well, it's under offer. And he went, I said, let's get some paper, and I put a note through the door and I said, I want it, it's my house. And under offering, the lady rang me and she literally moved about five doors away, the lady that lived here, and she just wanted like a bigger house, and she can't believe what I've done to it now. Like, she's like, oh my god, like I can't believe like all this you've done. And yeah, someone had pulled out. I manifested somebody pulling out. They dropped through the day before and they said we got it a little bit cheaper as well, and then we just got it, and we literally exchanged on the same week, was the week leading up to Christmas. And it was funny because I got the keys the day before and my dad was sulking, and they come round, my mum didn't tell me, she'd come round to the house and my dad was like looking round, and then he was like, my mum gave him a box. I thought, what's she doing? And there was like a box in a box in a box. And then his key, there was a key, and he looked at it and started crying, and he just ran out of my house and he ran around the corner, and he was just bewildered, like looking around, and it was just a really surreal moment. It's just something we both manifested, like she manifested moving, but it just happened so fast. And I think your manifestations can come quick, but they can be slow, so we can't be disheartened if they could take a, like, especially if we're trying to for a family, that, you know, that's not going to happen straight away for everybody. It could take a while. You might run into, you know, fertility problems, you might have to take another direction on being a parent. So we just need to, there's options around everything that we need to have open mindedness about, I think.
Yes, I completely agree. And I think for me, one of the things about manifestations and my first experience with was just at the beginning of June, or my first intentional manifestation was at the beginning of June. And when you mentioned it was about accountability and rechecking in with your goals, for me, it really was about that. It's that mindset that you're in that, like, okay, I have somewhere to go. You're always like, you're thinking about it. It's part of your energy. You're doing all the steps that you need to do to make sure that you're getting to this goal. You're just operating at a different level rather than thinking, what do I need to do today for my business? And I need to do the social media. I need to do the admin. I need to chat with this person. And it's kind of like, I have to do all of these things, or I need to do all of these things. But I feel when you're manifesting intentionally, it's like, I get to do all these things because I'm coming for that manifestation.
Yeah. You've got to be comfortable with what you're doing. And, you know, the accountability is the thing, because you've kind of give yourself a little bit of a kick that I want to do this, and what can I do? Because we do get comfortable in our business. I'm very comfortable in my hair. I've got a beauty salon at home. I do hairdressing. I've done it for 22 years. And I don't promote my hair and beauty. I don't need to, because I'm too busy. I can't physically do anymore. But I'm very comfortable because my clients are very loyal. I've done them for 20 years. So I do this as well as doing my podcasting in between what I'm doing. So if I wanted to amplify my hairdressing business, I know what I want to do. I could do courses, I can do training, I'm a qualified assessor, I could work, go back teaching again, but I don't want to because it's time, all the time, energy, I'm having to go out the house. Don't want to step backwards, I need to stay at home with my son because he needs me to when my husband's working shifts. So it's just looking at what you need to do. Like, I know what I need to do now in my new podcast. I need to show up, I need to do more recordings around it, and then I'm going to start creating more masterclass days, more, I do one-to-ones podcasting and publishing. And that's just something I've just dropped into doing. So I kind of let the universe take its lead. And what I've done, I've asked the universe to show me extra possibilities, what is possible. And I created 12 books in 12 days. Like, who does that? I just did it. I just thought, I'm doing it. And I created journals, weight loss planners. I did them all. I don't know what happened. I had like a period of like this, like portal opened, I feel like, and I just ran through it, did all the things, ran back and it closed again. And things happen. We have to use our creativity and enhance our creativity when, like, active meditation and go exercising. I say to eat well, drink lots of water, and that really enhances the manifestation. And you know when you're really sad about something and somebody's really upset you, what it does, it amplifies it for me. I think, no, you're not going to tell me that I'm not good enough. I get that fire in my belly. I'm like, I'm going to show you how good I can be and what I can achieve. And I have spoke about it in my book. What I've covered in is how where I grew up, a lot of people would see it as like probably not the best area. And it always was the assumption of you're not going to do well and you're not going to achieve anything. And because we had that assumption of anyone where people live, don't we? We always define them where they come from. And I've wrote in my book, there were certain people, like my neighbours used to say, like, oh, you're going to do hairdressing when you leave school. Like, it was a dumb person's job. And I'm like, yeah, because no matter what grades I got, I wanted to be a home beauty therapist because I'm chatty. And it's funny because I see these people now and I just laugh because I just feel like, you know, I think that's helped me define me to just actually show you, actually, I'm not, you just don't judge a book by its cover, because my creativeness came out in my early 20s. And when I reached 40, that was it. I become a podcaster and a publisher. Like, I didn't get good grades in like maths and English, like C's, D's. Like, you don't need good grades. You do independent learning. I think that's what it's about. Being independent, training. I've done so many qualifications and A-level since. I did my teaching qualification, I did my counselling, and I didn't get the best grades at school because I wasn't really that bothered. I just went to school, and then I went to college, and then afterwards is when I started to enjoy, and that's what I wrote about in my book, enjoy learning. Learning started for me when I left school, and I think that we have to realise that we can up-level and do more things around parents as well. We don't have to feel like being a parent and a wife and a partner is a barrier, because we shouldn't have any barriers to anything that we do. There's always a way around. There's always a way. That's what I say.
There's always a way. I love it so much. And everything that you're saying just really hits my heart. And when you talk about school, and I've had this discussion a little bit earlier on in some of my episodes with somebody else, but this is kind of a different perspective, as schooling is so cage-like, yeah, in society. And I'm sorry for all of those that find that offensive, but you start school here in France at 3, in the US at 5, I believe it's 4 in the UK.
Yeah.
So, you know, somewhere around those ages, you start school and then you are inundated for the next 14 years. Constant schooling every day, except for the summer. And it's all based on a curriculum that is set for that specific area. So in France, they have a national curriculum. In the US, they don't have a national curriculum. It's by state by state. And so there are certain standards that you have to meet, but it is by state by state. And in the UK, it's nationalized, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. And the whole thing is like everybody is learning the same thing at the same rate, at the in the same way. And but everybody that has ever been to school knows that this is not effective, yet our systems remain the same. We know that not everybody learns at the same rate. We know that not everybody learns in the same way. We know that some people are, they need more time. Like they take it in and then a few years later, then they're able to apply that information at a later time. We have neurodivergent people. We have hard of hearing, as a sight loss people, that just learning is different for them. Yet we continue to trug along the same systems. And that I am a previous teacher. So for my educational background, I have a bachelor's in elementary education, and I have a master's in teaching English as a second language. And I continue to wonder, why do we keep pounding the same system that has shown across the world doesn't work? And when you're talking about you really have started to apply yourself when you were able to find something you were passionate about, that you actually cared about. But for some reason, we aren't encouraged to go down that path. And my nieces and nephews, they're coming to around 16 years old in France. And at that time, you're entering into the stage of where you have to make a choice, like a life choice of which path do you want to go down? Do you want to go down the schooling path? Do you want to go down working in dining or plumbing or with
that's the thing I was going to say, that careers we choose, they come to school and it was either go in the army, go to college, do hair and beauty, which I wanted to do anyway, you go and work in an office, or you go in a factory. Well, what about being an entrepreneur? What about creating your own business? Do you know? And it goes to show, like now, like my old school, I know people's, my friend's children that had children younger, the children's gone, they're still teaching the same hymns, because it was like a really good Catholic school. They're teaching everything the same. It's just the same subjects. And I'm like, maybe just the things that probably would have changed is like the sex education, but that seems similar. We've changed, we've evolved, we're on social media. They have to do more things in schools. But I just feel like teachers are probably so frustrated. It's not the teachers, it's the government, it's where we are. It's like you have to do this, but it's not enough because our kids aren't stimulated enough. They need more. And my son's high school, like I was so lucky to get him in. It's a specialist high school and it's all about learning, and they go out, like they're going out on a geography trip next week and they're going to go for some food after and they have to go and pay themselves. So it's about that, because he's not going to get A stars. He's not going to get them qualifications, but that school is not about that. It's about independent learning. So he's going to be able to do a washing machine. He's going to be able to do certain things for himself. And that's what you need when you leave school. You don't need to know. I can't remember my algebra at all. My husband was talking about, he remembers everything, and he's old, 10 years older than me. I said, I can't remember loads of things. And he's like, I said, I can't remember because it, my, that when I did my teaching practice, I taught hairdressing and I went and did my teaching qualification. And I learned about teaching styles then, and I picked my teaching style, and there was kids in the, there were students in the class that had all different learning styles. I thought, no wonder why I struggled in certain subjects, because I used to just not get it. I'd be like, I still don't get it. And like, Lindsay, what do you not get? And I'm like, I don't, it's not going in. You need to break this down. And that's why I think I just kind of switched off at school and just thought, well, but now it has to be more inclusive. Like you say, with disabilities, because my family are deaf. So my nan had no option but to send her children to, so my mum and her other sister are hearing and her three siblings are deaf. So he's British Sign Language. So they went to a boarding school. There was no option. They had to go at 7 and for young children to go away. But now we have like one-to-ones in the class. And so you have interpreters, which is brilliant now. Like that side's good, but the funding's getting dried up now. So we're going backwards all the time. That's like a different episode, that, isn't it, about education? We won't get on our soapboxes. We won't get on our soapboxes about it.
Well, it's just, I feel like it's such like a passion subject about for entrepreneurs. When I talk to them about the educational system, they always like light up and they have a lot of passion around the subject, because like you said, you are exactly right. There wasn't an option or even a course around entrepreneurialism and becoming your own business owner, and what skill sets that you need. Because in real life, if you are an entrepreneur, that then you know that it is the most intensive self-development course that exists. Because every time you try to level up in business, then there's a phrase that comes up, a new level, another devil. And that's in your mindset, things that you have to unpick and figure out, or it's in your strategy. You have to constantly be learning new skill sets. And I think sometimes when people outside of being a business owner come to you and say, what do you do? And you say, oh, I'm a small business owner, or I'm the owner.
That's the thing. Yeah, you don't want to say I'm an entrepreneur. My mom tells everyone I'm an entrepreneur, and I find it a bit icky. I'm like, why have you said that, mom? Well, you've got a podcast and you do this. I'm like, yeah, but I feel really embarrassed. Because we've got this fear of like, well, I didn't really get good grades at school, and I didn't do a business degree. But it doesn't matter, because all these people got these fabulous business that I network with didn't. It doesn't matter. They've worked hard. I think the people that probably didn't do as good at school probably have had to work harder. I feel like I have. I've had to just push ourselves to support ourselves and ask for a little bit more help. But we shouldn't be afraid to say, well, actually, I'm an entrepreneur. Instead of saying, well, I do this and I do that, I'm just an entrepreneur. And they're like, oh, what do you do? Like, so it is a hard thing, isn't it? Because it's our self-belief, what we're taught at school. We get told certain things about money, don't we? You know, money doesn't grow on trees, and you know, things like that. And it does bring up with us as we're older.
Absolutely. And I love that money doesn't grow on trees. My dad used to say that all the time growing up. You know, that's not how the world works, Rachel.
Yeah.
And I just think that when you also are talking about, it's wonderful to know that you have that same kind of reserved, like saying, I am an entrepreneur, or I am a small business owner. Because then people are like, they either have one or two reactions I have experienced. They're either like, oh, cool, what do you do? Yeah. And then you talk to them and it's wonderful and they're so impressed. Or, oh, what do you do?
Yeah.
And it's sort of like in both ways, you're immediately judged. They're either really impressed by you because you have your own business, or they're like, you're really the stay-at-home mom that just says she's an entrepreneur to say that she's not a stay-at-home mom. And it's really interesting because what I've experienced, kind of a transition into how other people in society view you, is I live in France, so I don't have any of my direct family around, but I have my husband's family around. And one thing that's always hard for me to stomach is when I'm out, I don't understand French completely. And so sometimes I'll be with his family and with other people, and someone will ask me, what do I do? And I don't always understand their question. It kind of depends on how it's formatted. And sometimes, and previously, his mom has responded, oh, she's a stay-at-home mom that has like a jewelry business. And it's hard, you know, that sort of stone and friction rolls down the back of your throat, because in your heart, you know that that's not all you do. In your heart, as you know, that you're working your ass off to learn new skill sets, to develop new funnels for your business, to learn how to podcast, to learn what do you need for an online business, to learn the skill sets of copywriting, business strategy, admin, all of the things. Yet then when people introduce you, you're reduced down to, I'm a stay-at-home mom.
But if she said she's our American entrepreneur, publisher and author, and you'd be like, yes, so you'd be like, can you, like, when I publish my book, like, even though I do self-publishing and I'm going to be an author soon because I've authored my own book, that's going to feel strange as well, like an imposter. Imposter syndrome is real, doesn't it? No matter who you are, everybody gets it, because it's the next level. I've always been a hair and beauty therapist, so to say I'm going to be an author, I feel like I'm like, thinking, is my book going to be good? I've had all these feelings this week. I'm like, I think it's going to be good enough, my book. Do you think people are going to read it? My friend Helen, who's an author, and she's like, Why wouldn't they? What? Where's these things coming from? I said, because the normal things about publishing a book, because you don't want people to judge you, but you have your tribe, like you say. If you've got the tribe around you, they understand what you're doing, but you are in a different country. You're not around people that know and understand who you are yet. So it's a completely different thing, isn't it? Like when you move to a different town or country, because you've not built up that rapport with people.
Yes, absolutely. It really, really is. It's so different than people think that it is. And it's also, as far as moving goes, it's like reestablishing yourself because nobody knows you. I mean, my husband knew me, of course, but nobody really knows you. They know of you if you move, like where your husband or wife is from or significant other. And they know about you, but they don't really know you. And so getting down into what do you do? Who are you? And then for me, I have to be honest and transparent here, is I don't actually talk a lot about my businesses with my family-in-law. It's just not something I do. And if they ask me about it, I know they follow me on social media, so I know they see it because I'm like shouting all the time over there. But if they ask, they don't ask me that much in person. And if they do, I'll answer the questions. But I'm never like, hey, I launched a new podcast. I have a lifestyle brand. I'm a copywriter. I'm also a jewelry artist. Like I'm just not like that. And so I think some of it is also part of its personality. And then part of it's also about confidence and mindset. It's like, it's okay to talk about myself. It's okay for us to talk about our businesses. And I think that's important for other entrepreneurs to hear because sometimes they only feel safe talking about their businesses with other business owners.
Yeah, and it's comfortable. Like when people say, "Oh, like what do you do?" I'm like, "Oh, I'm a home beauty therapist." So, "Oh, right, yeah, how long have you been doing that?" So now they say, "What do you do?" I'm like, "Well, I've actually got two businesses. I've got a home beauty therapist, and I'm also a podcaster." And they go, "All right," like, and they're kind of stumped and like, because they're not a podcaster, they're not in that world, so I don't expect them to understand. But then they say, "Well, what's it about? What do you talk about?" Like, "I don't know what to talk about." And like, "Oh, do you make money from it? And do you do this?" And like, people don't understand like how it can really help your business be an extension of your other business, because I am a very good, I love chatting and wittering on. So a podcast is great for me because I just waffle on my podcast. But I can build my brand because people know me and what I do. And then when I go to sell new things and promote my other businesses that I would do on Facebook, they know me. They know that I'm transparent, and they know my personality, and not one shoe fits all. So they know that they either like me or they don't. Like people like that when I went to the gym as a personal trainer, that I'd get the I wasn't a skinny personal trainer by far means. I had my son had a cesarean, and I had the belly from like I wasn't like some of them in there, like they were some of the PTs. But that was something that I had to overcome, because years ago I would have been the perfect PT size before my son. But I thought, do you know what gravitated towards more? Busy mums. Busy mum, that's how I entered busy mums. Bellies, bums, boobies, whatever. We all had the same, and they went, "Do you know what? You are so fit. Like you are jumping around, you're not letting your weight." Or so I've got boobs and I've got a bit of a belly. Like I'm not bothered because I've had a child. Like I've had a cesarean. I can't help what's happened to my body since I breastfed. Like of course my boobs are gonna change. And they're like, that just shows that inclusivity in fitness, that doesn't matter what you are. And we kind of grieve for our old body sometimes. Or like, my body has been weight challenged for years, been up and down and for years. But I think you've just got to kind of put that beside, and it kind of affect your business. A lot of people say my weight holds me back in my business. And I said, well, if I'd have let my personal training business hold me back, where am I now? They're all still working in gyms, and I've got a podcast. And they're absolutely shattered working on the feet, trading that time and energy, getting up at 5. I don't do that anymore. I don't work, don't do one-to-ones, unless it was specifically for some high-risk client that I would do some. But podcasting, I can do it from here. I can still teach people, maybe not do it physically, but I can teach them, So, yeah. So, yeah, it's funny life, isn't it? Like, if we can, things can just change like that.
So much. And what you just said has hit me in my heart and in relation to ex body acceptance. And for me, My body completely changed during, after my pregnancy. And it's been really, really difficult for me to accept. And that at the beginning, of course, so for me, what happened was before I was pregnant, I was diagnosed with hypothyroidism. And the way that this occurred was actually kind of a roundabout way. I had gotten sick when I went on a trip with my aunt, and they gave me everything under the sun for bacterial, viral infections, boosters, whatever the thing was, but I was still sick after all of these things. And so the doctor suggested that I have a scope done on my throat and see if I'm having a pocket of, like, is the bacteria lodged somewhere in my throat where I'm getting reoccurringly sick. And so when he did, when I had the echo done, then they discovered I had nodules on my thyroid. And kind of to speed up the story is, before I was pregnant and when I was getting married, I went through a few months where every single week I would be gaining weight, no matter what I was doing, no matter if I didn't eat anything, if I ate everything, if I worked out, if I didn't work out, it was every single week due to my thyroid. And when I was pregnant, I was in France, so came over when I was pregnant. I told everyone that would listen. I was like, I've been diagnosed with hypothyroidism. I understand that my blood levels are not indicating that, but I need you to listen to me. Like this, I know that I have it. Oh, you're fine. You're fine. Your blood looks good. And I tell them again, you know, my mom's blood looked good too, but she doesn't have a thyroid anymore. Please pay attention. And they just really dismissed me completely. And when my daughter was born, I only lost the weight that she weighed. That was it. Even 3 months on, I still hadn't lost any weight, even though I was breastfeeding. And one of the doctors on one of my, like, when you go, like, routine checkups after delivery, he was like, oh, you know, you might have a thyroid problem. Really? Yes. Really? Oh, that's really shocking news to me, really. And I was really frustrated because I still to this day, I felt like nobody listened to me when I tried to advocate for myself, trying to tell people, like, I need you to be on top of this. Should I be doing anything? Should I not be doing something? You know, should I be weary of things going on? Should I take specific medication? Should I be more active? Should I eat more things, eat less things, whatever the thing is? And so when I had my daughter and afterwards, I gained about 35 pounds or so during my pregnancy. And ultimately I could only lose 10 pounds. So just slightly over what my daughter weighed. And for me, that was really hard to accept. Like, my body looks different now. My stomach looks different. I obviously have more weight on, and still 4 years on, and my body hasn't changed at all since then. And I think hearing you talk about, like, you know, you have boobs, you have a little bit of a belly, and like, this is me and I own all of it. That's so inspiring to me. And I think so many women that are going to tune into this podcast are just going to be really touched by your mindset and the way that you approach body positivity.
I think probably like reaching it, like getting towards 40 when I was working in the gym helps, because when you're 20, you're so critical because you're looking for relationships, you're in new relationships, and you want your body to look good, like in the bedroom and all that. But like, I think when you get married or when you get older, you kind of like, you know what, if I'm not happy with myself at nearly 40, then when am I going to be happy? Like, when, like, my husband says, you don't look any different to me. I said, I'm about 4 stone heavier. It's like, no. I went, come on, look at these pictures, like with tight belts on. I said, obviously you can tell my boobs are smaller because I was lighter in weight. And he's like, oh, well, you've just had a baby. You've had a cesarean, you had your belly cut. So he's not bothered. Like, he's just like, but I said, yeah, but still bothers me because I'm happy. And like, it's not going to change. If I I can't remember what podcast I listened to, but if we just keep, you know, like thinking, well, I'll buy that, or I'll wear that when I lose them £10, or I'll launch my business, then we're never going to get to that £10. We're just going to keep waiting and waiting, and we hide behind our clothes. I'm a terrible hider when I go out. Like if I'm having a fat night when I go out, like it does ruin your night. But you have to make sure that you're feeling good about yourself. You're right, finding the right clothes, and like you say, you're doing affirmation, you're manifesting, because it really does help, I think, with myself, doing my self-development, and that's what I talk about on my podcast, really has helped me love myself more, and I'm not bothered about my weight anymore. Like, it's just, it is what it is. Like, I'm confident, people know, like, they don't see my weight, they see me smiling, and they bouncing into school, and my eyelashes and my nails, because I like to do things like that. They don't see that side. And when I look at all the mums at school, we're all similar. We all got our body hang ups, and that's the nice thing, that we all have issues, and we just forget about them, because there's no point keep crying over them. It's not, we've just got to try and be as healthy as we can, and you know, still keep fit. And I've been on it for the last 2 weeks, and I've been eating clean, really reducing everything, like clean eating, and it's been good, reducing my sugar, because I was having my over 40s blood test, which I had 2 days ago. So I wanted to make sure everything's good and my cholesterol's nice. And so I've just been making sure that I'm taking accountability, because it's so easy, isn't it, to slip into takeaways and eating out for meals and sugar and gluten that makes us like gain weight. But our bodies, like you say, when you've got, you want, you know, your thyroid, you want thyroxine, that can really, you know, you can't help but sometimes with you know, when you're weight challenged, because it is to do with medical issues, mobility issues. If you're not mobile, so you have to be extra responsible with yourself and how you're going to get active and keep your head, like your mindset, in check as well.
Absolutely. And I think what you said there in regards to how I'll keep those clothes, or I'll buy them when I'm 10 pounds lighter, or I'll keep those clothes that I no longer fit into, because you never know next year. For me, I watched my mom do that. And this isn't a dig at my mom, but it's just more of a factual experience. Is my mom did that. She kept all of her clothes. Now, even when she lost weight, then she kept the bigger clothes. Well, what about if I put the weight back on? And the thing for me, what I realized is, just a few months ago, I looked at my closet and I literally tried on everything that I owned. And I am a little fashionista sometimes, so that's quite a few things. And I looked in the mirror, and if I didn't feel absolutely fantastic in it, I was like, all right, it's gotta go. Vintage. It's gotta go, because I want to be feeling absolutely fantastic in every piece of clothing that I put on my body. And I don't want to be in the mindset of thinking, oh, I'll keep it when I'm lighter, or I'll keep it for next year, and maybe I'll be a little skinnier. Or even the opposite. It's like, oh, I'm going to need to keep this because I might be bigger someday.
Yeah.
Is like, I made that decision to say to myself, like, every piece of clothing that I own, I'm going to feel magnificent in. And if I didn't, even if it fit me, but I felt like really conscious about it, or conscientious, self-conscious, like I was like, oh, I think this is showing too much boob, or this is showing too much stomach, or I look too curvy, or whatever the thing is, then I was like, okay, it's gotta go. Vented, donation, friend, whatever. And so I think that is really empowering, like your whole mindset. I'm like, I'm feeling empowered just talking to you.
It defines what, like, I just said to you before I came on, I went to the car dealership today, and I always have my hairdressing gear on, because I always get full of hairs. And I actually went into the dealership, and then I went pick my car up, and then I went back, and like this guy come out, and he was like, oh, he went, oh, you look really well today, you look really, I don't know him, and I was like, oh, hi, he went, you look really nice and bright. Well, that's quite refreshing. And I think what we were on a daily basis can affect our mood. Have you ever been in the supermarket? Well, maybe probably not now, you probably don't know as many people, but, and you think, what about, I'm having a really bad hair day, and I'm in my trampiest clothes, and you see someone, you think, or like an ex-partner or something, you think, oh, I hope I don't see them because they're awful today. Why didn't I put that makeup on? And I think if we just get up in the morning and prepare some clothes, and like today I've got my bright pink top on because I'm not working, and I feel good because I've had my eyelashes, my nails done, and I've done my hair. My nail technician bought me some little headbands, so she knows what I like, and I'm like, I'm gonna put a little bubble in my hair today. But I feel good because I'm in clothes that I feel comfortable in my weight. I love silk shirts, it hangs in the nice places, and I've got my little leggings on, and I just feel like you find something instead of keep wearing the same things all the time. I think we need to step into ourselves by wearing the clothes that make us feel good. Like you say, you want vintage, you can go and sell loads of things, make some money back, just go through your wardrobe. I think we should do that every now and again. We should get rid of old things, because that works with the manifesting process. Because if we're just stale in our own stale clothes, in our tight clothes, oversized clothes, we're never going to develop anymore, because we're stuck in a rut. And our wardrobes are the worst places. We keep things there, hanging up old things, and we're just so possessed with our clothes that we think, well, we might just wear that. And I've got loads of going out outfits, and I hardly go out anymore. So I'm like, and I probably won't wear that anymore because it's probably just a little bit less conservative. But you just keep hold of these little things. So it's just, like you say, we have to step into our sunshine by bringing out bright colours and looking at different things. And we've got Pinterest. We've got so many different things now we can, like, you can do for free, can't you? Like, you can look at what colour suits me, do your colour therapy. I love doing that. And I've always been to, like, pinks and leopard prints. I don't know why, but I've always stuck to them colours. I just feel comfortable in them.
Yeah. And you look amazing in pink and leopard print, let me tell you. And I love the phrase that our wardrobes are like our biggest ruts, because for women, it's so, so true, is that we kind of keep all of those like hidden emotions, hidden feelings, wishes, desires inside of our wardrobe, whether that's like not getting rid of clothes that were for our younger selves and no longer fit us and personality wise, or clothes that legitimately no longer fit us, whether that's bigger or smaller, is like, okay, we need to be in the now. We need to step into our sunshine, into our authenticity, into who we are as a person right now, and let that light shine. Because if we're always wishing that we were different, or we were skinnier, or we were bolder, or we were quieter, or we were more passionate, then you're never allowing yourself to actually hone in and share your strengths with the world and your family and the people around you.
And I think when we wear bright clothes and we're showing our identity, and we're like the person in the room with like the biggest personality, when our clothes make us feel more powerful. And when we have our own businesses, and our clothes represent everything. Because when you, like, you talk around business and you see everyone in like two-piece suites, and you're like, you see all these women like bossing it with the business, and you're like, they always look really nice and crisp with little cami tops on, and I love all that. Because, but if they was in a tracksuit, you probably wouldn't really take them seriously, would you? But because they've got the clothes on, so hi. We have a little tiger.
Yes. And so I think clothes are so important for everyone, because it makes or breaks how you feel during the day. Like if you get up and you are a stay-at-home business owner and you wear sweats all day and you're comfortable, but do you feel confident? Do you feel confident in your sweats? Maybe some people do, but for me, I don't. I feel lazy, and I feel like I just want to be comfortable, and I don't really want to get dressed, and I don't want to be seen by the outside world today. And I think for me, like if I get up and I get dressed and I'm like, all right, I'm living my best life today, even if it means I'm staying home all day and I'm doing business work, is I still bring that energy to my writing, to my business, is because I woke up with intention of like taking over the world.
Yeah, you're stepping into your power. So you're not just mum, you're coming out of mum, being parent. And then I've dropped my son off at school, and then I'm back, and then I'm me, I'm Lindsay till 3 o'clock. And then I go get my son, and then I'm mum again. But I'm going networking tonight. I'm going to a MIB networking event in Clitheroe. This is back in the UK. So another ex-MIB leader, we're going, we're having a little road trip, but we're doing it in like a school setting, like a forest school type setting. So I think we're gonna have like marshmallows, we're gonna do some nice networking, meet some new people. So that'll be really nice. So I'm looking forward to that. And like my husband's at home, like, bye, I'm gonna be out till like 9:30. He's like, yeah, that's fine. And I'm looking forward to doing that. But she said we're like down close because obviously we're gonna be outside. So I'll try my, we might wear my jeans with like another shirt or something. And you just feel a little bit nice but casual. And maybe take a coat in case it does rain. And that's it. So, yeah.
Lindsay, I love that so much that you're going to go hang out with your friends and step into your power and just really own who you are as individuals. And I have one last question for you before we sign off today, is what advice would you give to someone who is trying to find their path in life?
I think just revisit when you're looking at, if you're a bit stumped with what you want to do in life, so if you're looking at business, look at like your transferable skills, look at what you're good at, your qualities, what people say that are good about you, and just put it all together on a piece of paper. Just write it down, like, what can I change about myself? What will feel good about me? Might be something you want to revisit from your past and think, actually, you know, I gave that up a long time ago. I might want to revisit that. So everything has to be in alignment. And when it feels good, when you wake up in the morning, you know you've hit the jackpot, you know that that's the right thing that you need to do. But be a flexible on change, like things can happen. So just have a really open mindset, but don't be scared to try on new things. That's what I'd say.
That's wonderful advice, Lindsay. Thank you so, so, so much. And I am so thankful that you agreed to come on to Step Into Your Sunshine. It has been a wonderful time chatting with you. And I know that so many women that are going to tune in to this episode are going to be really impacted by the topics that we talked about today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on. I'm so excited. I'm so excited that, you know, that you came on the masterclass because you've got this brilliant podcast and I've come on it. And do you not think things are just aligned? Like, this was meant to be, because I've known you for years, kind of in the networking, but well, obviously because you lived in the US, it's not, so we wouldn't have never met in person, but through lockdown we did meet a few times online. So, and it kind of just happened. So you've not kind of known who I were, known a little bit about me, and then you revisited me years later, so you just never know when you need each other or when you're going to hook up again. And you know, things happen, like me and Lisa doing the collaboration together, like we've never met in person, but I feel like I've known her for years online and I've supported her and she's supported me. And yeah, it's a really nice place in it online as well.
Yes, and that's, I think, a good notion to leave on, is yeah, that you never know what is going to come from the connections that you've made online, in at the store, in the coffee shop. You never know who's going to remember you or what kind of impact you're making on in their life. And so just like we talked about, you know, you always get up with intention and ready to take back your power and step into your sunshine.
That's it. And that's a good one to finish on. So thank you so much.
Thank you. For all of our listeners, we have new episodes on Mondays and Thursday evenings, 8 p.m. Central European time, 7 p.m. UK time, and 1 p.m. US Central Standard Time. I can't wait to chat to you all soon.